Masna Masrikosa Batorah. Okay, so we saw the Mishnah, Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, tells us what? Nu, was sagt the Mishnah? Well, you're already at the second half of the Mishnah. You started with the Sefer.
He said that a shomer can basically any shomer can make a denial to be putter on something that they were using the
dialogue. Excellent. Everyone with me? Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, very interesting structure of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off with all sorts of specifics. All the various shomerim can make different tanaim, right? To have, what's the context of the Mishnah? Less responsibility than the Torah would otherwise obligate us typically. And the Gemara Mishnah says it's okay. The second half of the Mishnah lists a few general rules in tanaim. So what's the first question you have to ask yourself when you read the Mishnah? What's the relationship between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half? And I would suggest that in essence, without asking it in such a way, that's basically what's bothering the Gemara. Right? Because the first half of the Mishnah, as was so articulately and elegantly stated, mentions various people, all the different Tanaim that could be mentioned. But what's the first line of the Sefer? What's the first line of the second half of the Mishnah? Komas na mashakasa b'Torah? Tzna ubatel. Well, what do you mean? Doesn't that just contradict the first half of the Mishnah? The first half of the Mishnah gave all these where you did make a Tanai to go against what the Torah ordinarily would require. And yet the Mishnah said that was okay. And in one breath, the Mishnah tells us, by the way, you know, if you make a Tanai against the Torah, it doesn't work. So that's just obvious question number one. Okay? What's the second question, which is a lot less obvious, but the Rishonim, at least some of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yehonah's son and others, are bothered by in the opening of the Mishnah?
Why Shomer Chinam is not mentioned that it can be Pshia?
Or that you're saying it in a fancier way, you're right. But say it in a more simple way. We're starting slow. Some guy's still shaking out the cobwebs. Just, you're right. But just,
what did you say?
He said that, you say it, why should I say for you?
Shomer Chinam isn't mentioned to be, he can't, that he could be Pshia with Shomer Chinam isn't mentioned. It's just that he's Pater Meshua.
Right, so you use the word Pshia, which is correct, the way the Rishonim interpolate that word. But what's a simpler way? Just, I'm a simple guy. What's a simpler way of asking your same question?
Why can't Shomer Chinam be Pater from paying?
There you go, money. Right? You were editorializing, not incorrectly, that if we're saying, what's the case where he would be Pater for money is if he was Poshea. Right? You're right. I'm not a smart though, so I like to take things one step at a time. Right? The simple question is, how come the Shomer Chinam, the examples mentioned in the Mishnah, never say that he says to the Mavkid, listen, I'm willing to watch your thing, but I don't want to be chayiv in any financial responsibilities. Now, why would we have thought that? Not only because hypothetically, like who wouldn't want to get a free meal, a free ride, but also because the very next phrase in the Mishnah mentions other, right? That the Shoel can be Masna to be Potter Mi Lishalem. So, if it's good enough for the Shoel, why wasn't it good enough for the Shomer Chinam, right? So that's not, I wouldn't say, as obvious a question. That you have to be reading with a little bit more sensitivity. But maybe some of you did pick up on that on your own, and certainly some of the Rishonim are bothered by that. So that's the first two issues right when we see the Mishnah. Everyone good? Andrew, you with me? Fantastic. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question right away, am I Master Masha Vatarahu? Now again, the Gemara could be asking that question just on a general knowledge of Shas. Or if we want to understand the Gemara's question in the sharpest way possible, we could say, the way we said before, well, isn't that contradicted by the very next phrase in the Mishnah? So it's not obvious to me, at least in the language of the Gemara, which one, but it doesn't really matter. But I think if we think of it in the more sharp way, right, it's just a basic contradiction in the Mishnah. In the mission itself. So the Gemara gives two answers. What is the first answer of the Gemara? How could we have all these Tanaim in the Mishnah? Isn't that against the rule that you're not allowed to be Masna against what it says in the Torah? Who knows? What's the first answer of the Gemara? Matan, the power nap helped?
What?
Your power nap helped? Good. You're on your game?
Yeah. I think, we'll see. With this question, I don't know. Okay.
I know what you meant.
Keep going. He doesn't know that you make the tonight before or do you become a shomer? Like,
What's the first answer of the Gemara? Again, the question is, how could the Mishnah give all these tanaim? Isn't that against the rule of Masna Mashakasa Batorah? Yes. Shkayach, excellent. Very good. So the first answer is, this is not a new thing. We're not Columbus discovering America today. This is an old sugya. This is a famous Shas sugya. This is just one of those Yedios Klolios you just got to have in the back pocket if you want to be a Talmud Chacham. You just got to know. There's a famous machlokas out there about Masna Mashakasa Batorah. And even though there seems to be some concept of Tanai, which does not work according to everybody, there's a subcategory of Tanai, which is in fact a machlokas. What's that subcategory? It was said, if you're trying to get out of financial obligation. And there we have the famous machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. What is the initial text which our Gemara then goes on to quote? What's the locus classicus of that famous machlokas?
Marriage.
Not about Shomrim, but about
marriage,
right? There are three basic, don't make me laugh. There are three basic, because I do get that reference. There are three basic obligations that a husband has to his wife, known as
share,
kesus, and ona. What are the three things? What does share mean? Share, kesus, and ona. Share is food. Kesus is
clothing.
And ona is? There you go. Okay. Hameven Yovin. Okay. Nice of you to join us, fellas. Silver Spring comes together. It's beautiful. Okay. So, says the Gemara, what if a husband proposes to his wife and just says, listen, I'm going to be the worst husband ever. So what do you say? At least he was upfront about it, right? And by the way, I'm never going to put down the toilet seat and I'm never going to pick up my socks. You know, you might as well just throw it all in there. No surprises. I'm going to get a beer belly. I'm not. I'm going to, you know. It's all okay. What'd you say?
The
there you go. Once you're going to go all the way. Very good, Fruchter. Touche, touche. That's a three-pointer. Okay? So, and she agrees, right? Nebuch. She didn't have much image of herself. If it would be my daughter, I would say kick the bum out. But all right, not everyone has the most self-confidence. So she said yes. Does it work or not? Is such a marriage possible? So everyone agrees that you cannot have a marriage without ona. There cannot be an agreement to completely exempt the husband from his physical responsibilities of marital intimacy with his wife. That's iser v'heter. So that would be Masna Mashakasa B'Torah. But what is the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? About the other two, about Sheer and Ksus, which are basically financial obligations. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? B'davar Sheba Mamon, Tzna'o Kayim. So they're married. He's still required to do the Ona because you can't get out of that. But he is in fact exempt. He doesn't have to give her room and board. He doesn't have to, you know, feed and clothe her. He doesn't have a houser. Okay? That's... Rabbi Meir still rejects that. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's Siddoto Batal. So says the Gemara, our Mishnah is Aliba, is going with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because what are we talking about?
Mamon.
Shomrim is clearly Mamon. If the husband can get out of Sher V'Ksus, so the Shomrim can get out of their various obligations, right? The Parsha of Shomrim is one of Mamon. And I stress that is because it relates to our first problem, which is, but didn't the Shomer Chinam talk about Shvua? So it must be, the Gemara realized, you know, so that's not Mamon, is that? The answer is no. It must be that the whole Parsh of Shomrim is a financial relationship, a commercial relationship between people. So even if the Shomer Chinam is just getting out of the Shvua, but it's in a Parsha, it's in a context of a financial relationship between the two. So therefore, says the Gemara according to the first answer, it works according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara says, but that can't be, because the continuation of the Mishnah seems to be clearly going like Rabbi Meir. So we never like to have a schizophrenic Mishnah if we can avoid it. It's not impossible, but it's always the Gemara's least attractive option. And therefore the Gemara comes on to a second answer. Ella, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Kula Rabbi Meir, he. No, in fact, the whole Mishnah could be gone according to Rabbi Meir. even the Sefer. Now, this is already getting to one of the questions we asked when we read the Mishnah. Isn't there a contradiction between the two halves of the Mishnah? So now the Gemara is saying, no. The whole Mishnah can be going to Rabbi Meir. In other words, even though Rabbi Meir generally holds you cannot make a Tanai, there's a carve-out. There's an exemption built in. One big exemption called Shomrim. Now, that's not as big as this exemption as Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says all Mamon is the exemption. And yet, for some reason, even though Rabbi Meir rejects that, he's willing to take a smaller exemption, which is Shomrim. Says the Gemara, Elakula Rabbi Meir hi. And what is the reasoning? Who wants to read the line? Very critical, if vague and ambiguous and confusing formulation of the Gemara. Shiny hacha why, Levian? Period. So first let's translate the words.
Originally he did not obligate himself.
Excellent, right? He was not Meshabe, did not make himself responsible. Me'ikar, even at the outset, from the beginning. Okay? So somehow, because at the beginning of the Shomrim, beginning of the relationship, he said, Amanasa, I don't have to take a Shvua. That was Me'ikara, he didn't obligate himself in that. It works. So what is the obvious problem with this? All the Rishonim are bothered by. Why is that different than any other case? What you can't make, in the case of Hariyah Mekudeshesli, you know, I'll marry you, but just so you should know, but I'm going to be a bummy husband. So that was also, before we got married, I'm not Meshabed myself. You want to get married? I don't want to be Meshabed myself in these things. Right? It's very unclear when you think about the Gemara, why is this uniquely so? Now, who addresses this question in the most, I don't want to say this in a pejorative way, but in the most simple, even simplistic, you could say, but I say that, Begilu V'Ra'adah, fear and awe and trepidation. Who says it's the most simple or simplistic way? Who explains this? Rashi. What is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara? That what is the distinction between the cases? One word, fancy word, begins with the letter C. Not so fancy. Not for you smart guys. Chronological. Rashi says, what's the distinction? Chronological. You want to read the Rashi for me? Everyone got the Rashi? Afilu Tema. Comma, pause, right? So even the Reisha is Rabbi Meir. Wow, what a chiddush! Who? Why not? Stop, that was very important. You could translate it to any language you want, just not from Rashi's original. What does Rashi say? Amr lo, he said to the guy, right? He said to the mafkid, I'm not willing. EFshi.
I'm not willing to be your shomer.
Ella.
Unless I can so-and-so, I don't think I
get to do. Except for fill in the blank.
Yeah.
The shomer. And here's the key point. Von Rashi. Next line. Nachis to shmira.
He doesn't actually take it.
Ade. Comma. So he's not yet a shomer. He has no din shomer until he's kona the animal, until he's moshech the animal. And since he made the tanai, Rashi seems to be stressing beforehand, that's critical. Continue reading. Excellent, right? So as you said before, it's chronological. By the time he became a shomer, he had already not been meshabed himself, right? Quite a literal explanation of the Gemara. Me'ikara lo meshabed nafshei. Me'ikara meaning from the beginning of his shmira, he had already carved out this exemption. He was never meshabed himself. From the moment he became a shomer, he was already exempt, right? He's not changing halachic reality. He's preempting it. However, says Raval, the famous Shita Rabbi Meir by Kiddushin is not that way. Why? Continue.
About Isha,
so Stop. Translate. So let's create the parallelism. As opposed to the Shomer case where we said he doesn't have a din Shomer, he doesn't have the status of a Shomer until a certain point, and at that point he was already agreeing to exempt himself. Here, he already has a din, what you want to call it, Chasan, Makadesh, whatever, Baal, however you want to term what you want to use, but he already has entered in that halachic status from the outset. And only then, V'chi Amar La. That's your cue.
Yeah.
We got to work on our moves together, yeah? A lie, comma, pause. So he says he's already a Baal, he's already a Chatan. And then, V'chi, only then does he say, by the way, but I'm not going to do anything that a normal husband would do. So then it's too late because he's already a Baal, he was already a Chasan. And that's a problem, according to Meir of Masna Mashakasov. The Torah. Why? The ain? Right? The minimum is the maximum. Ain issues lachatzin. You can't do it. You can't go halfway. Well done. Well read. Exactly. So if Kiddushin is going to be chal, if it's going to be toughest, it's got to go all the way. That's a good translation for that. If you want a good literal translation, you have to look up a Jastro. In the context, it means it will take hold. Will take hold. I don't know if that's the grammatical. Which is what I just said. Yes, Andrew.
So why can't you, basically when you say harayat, you're really just doing Yerusin, right? And then
not basically, yes.
Yes, you are doing
no, yeah, don't qualify that. Say that with confidence.
You're doing Yerusin and then Kiddushin comes.
No, Yerusin and Kiddushin are the same thing.
Nisuin
is subsequent. What is Nisuin is a major machlokas rishonim.
Okay. So why can't you basically say that, why can't you break up getting married into
Let's take a step back. We do break up marriage into two parts.
In
everybody does. This is not breaking up Kiddushin and Nisuin. This is only being willing to commit to a partial Kiddushin.
Okay.
You hear the difference? There's the halachic process that allows for a complete marriage does require two things. That's true. And there's what the difference is on a Daraisa level, on a Darabana level, Yemitz Hashem, where they learned Ksubis last year, right? So you'll have to stay in Yeshiva for a lot of years until we get back to Ksubis. Or Kiddushin, that might be coming up. So maybe you could still have a life if you stay for Kiddushin.
All these things apply right after Kiddushin, even
before Nisuin? On a Daraisa level, yeah.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, yes. No, the word doesn't. No, what's? How do you? Anyone know how the Hariyat Mikudesh actually ends?
Batabatzu,
right? You have to then give her the ring, and she has to accept it.
So until she accepts it, it means nothing.
I mean, it's like so, it's suspended. It's not. I wouldn't say it means nothing. It just doesn't count.
So
yeah, it retro. If she never accepts the ring, then of course there's nothing happened.
So
that's
like,
correct.
Let's say like with regard to like any other condition, like he's not actually married.
For sure not. No,
so
you can't just pronounce that and like force her to marry you. She has to accept it.
So he's never like that. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Tobias until she actually accepted. So he makes this night before she accepts it. So there's
why can't
that
you
would seem like the same thing as Meshivas. Like it's the same.
Meshivas afterwards.
That's interesting. I'm not sure. I have to think about that. Right? You're saying that since the actual kiddushin is not chal until she accepts it. I guess I'm not sure this is a sufficient answer, but. That's an excellent question. I guess what Rashi seems to be saying is that once you say, once you make the declaration of your intent, so I guess then Rashi feels, although maybe this is part of the weakness of Rashi, I'm not sure, he feels that that's already, you're in the parsha of Kiddushin. It's true that until she accepts, you can't back out. Although again, the role of the Isha, this is complicated. It's a good question. I'm saying it's complicated. There's a big discussion again. How active a role does the woman have? I don't mean this in a political feministic sense. I mean like classical halachic sense. She doesn't have to do an action, but many assume that still her assent, her agreement, is a affirmative, positive contribution to the kiddushin. There's a famous Ran in Maseches Nedarim, who has a much drastically more passive formulation, that basically she's just a mafkir herself. By not rejecting it, she's passively allowed him to completely take her as a wife. It's not, forget 50-50, it's not even, 55-45 or something like that. So maybe, I'm just speculating, this requires further thought, maybe if Rashi is in the orbit of the Ran, so then even more is accomplished by what he says. Again, you can't force her Baal Karche. So obviously, in the end, she could still walk away. You're right. So Rashi knew that as well as both of us. So we have to think about it a little bit more. I don't know if it relates to Rashi's Shita on Kiddushin. Maybe he's like that Ran, I'm not sure. Or maybe even if you don't go that far, it just means that once he brings himself into the Parsha with his Hariat Mekudeshes, you're right, but your diok is correct. Everyone heard what he said? When he says Hariat Mekudeshes, you're not pronouncing her the way I would make my calf hektish by declaring it hektish. That's not true. That's true, because he can't do it balkarche. That, you're right about that. That's a good hara. Yes?
Try to read Hagos Hashri into Rashi to answer that question.
We didn't read the Hagos Hashri yet. Let's wait, okay?
I'm just saying, could Rashi be read a little bit differently?
How we can read Rashi, if we have time, I want to get back to the end of this year. Yes, we'll get back to it. But hold off for a second, yeah.
Do you think, in the case of the Kedushin, could you just say that Gemara's talking about a case where she takes the object? Where it's like, she's like,
When?
It's like, you're married to me, I'll make a change.
But that declaration happens before she gets the ring. And she can't take it. He has to give it to her.
No, I'm saying, what if he gives it to her, but it says, and this is only on the condition that I don't have to do all these things, and then she takes it.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Rashi doesn't say any of that, so it's hard to know.
So, in terms of the Rashi, it seems like Rashi is talking about two different things. One, about the, it's like preemptive in the case of Shomrim, but in the case of marriage, with the Jewish, it's not. And he also talks about, if we read Moshe Abinashu, the Yar of the Torah, Shomrim, Ella, the Mitzvahs. Seems like, in the case of Shomrim, you're detracting from it, but you're not completely negating it. But then in the case of Kedushin.
Why? Would be the same in both cases. Hypothetically, why can't I be a Shomer b'miktsas or a husband b'miktsas?
So it seems that those three aspects are basically the laws of a husband. It seems that you're trying to totally negate it completely. But in the case of Shomer, you're simply decreasing responsibility.
So, but that's not Rashi's focus. Rashi's focus.
Rashi.
You think so? I know, but then continue. Below nachas l'shmira, he focuses on this idea again.
Yes, so I think there's two aspects. Because then also in Kedushin he says, Shein olay matana al mashavas matorah dein yishus lechatzin, and then he talks about half marriage versus whole marriage, and then he's talking about minimizing shomrim versus total shomrim. It seems like he mentions it for both shomrim and for kedushin in terms of if you're simply making it a small obligation or completely removing the obligation. I mean, it seems that Rashi's sort of thinking up on a couple things here.
Okay, I
think there's different ways to interpret what he's really.
Okay, I hear. Let's focus, though. I hear that. But he definitely has this chronological idea, right? Now, the advantage of Rashi, I would say, is it's the simplest reading of the Gemara, right? Mi'ikara sounds like a chronological term, right? The weakness of Rashi, which I could say in one of two ways, the weakness of Rashi is there's nothing inherently different between Shomrim and Kiddushin. Right, the Gemara seemed to make a distinction. According to Rabbi Meir, oh, there's a huge difference. Shmira is different than Kiddushin. When in fact, as the other Rishonim are bothered by, that's not, according to Rashi, that's not actually the issue. The real issue is just what came first. And therefore, in both cases, it could be inverted. In the Kiddushin, you could have said,
tomorrow when I'm a Kaddish.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, Harat Mekudesh is Li Almanas, you could just say in the other direction. Or the Shmira could be different. Why can't I, and hypothetically, couldn't I have agreed to be a Shomer and then say, but I'm only willing to do that if. Right, after my. So that's the weakness of Rashi. What, as was mentioned before by Gedalia, what could be perhaps a way of grounding Rashi, maybe we'll have a chance to get back to. But as you know, the Rishonim here have a huge, huge, huge discussion about these questions. And fundamentally, there are two approaches to this question. Okay, everyone with me? Just want to shake out the cobwebs. Do a little aerobic dance. We're good? Okay.
Could you do that again, please?
Not if you're going to video me.
But now we can video. Okay, I think we're good now.
Okay. I got game. Okay. So, fundamentally, we have two approaches in the Rishonim how to deal with this. And if you want to be cute, you want to sound maybe pseudo-intellectual, sound like a Shir Hey guy, you could say it's a machlokas between the Chachmei Tzarfas, Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Chachmei Sfarad. But yeah, basically a machlokas between the Balei HaTosfos and some of the various Rishonei Sfarad, how to understand, again, this difference. Again, the question is, according to how could the Gemara say that this Mishnah works even according to her? In essence, the Gemara is saying that Shomrim is different. Well, in what way is Shomrim different? So, of course, this brings us to, famously, the huge Tosfos in Ksubis, which I was not careful enough in my Mar Makomos, but I guess most of you figured out that you didn't have to see the whole thing. Right, just the end of the Tosfos, where Tosfos gives two answers to the question. But did I put it on the sheet?
Yes. On the sheet.
That would be another way to figure it out. Okay. So it's okay.
When you give us a sheet like this, you want us reading it from the sheet, or you want us reading it from the sheet?
I'll tell you the truth. I wasn't sure what would be easier for you. Like, I wasn't sure the Ramban, right, or things like that. You know, so anything that wasn't in the Gemara or a Ritva, I put on the sheet. But that's just because, you know, if you read us Ledoros, you know, apparently the feeling is that you guys can't get up and look for anything or get any books or buy any books. What? Right, or a Kovitz, right? I would be happy to just not put any of these Rishonim on the sheet. But if I put it on the sheet, you're certainly welcome to use the sheet. I put it on the sheet. I need further guidance from central command as to what levels of expectation we can have for you gentle souls. But in general, though, I tried to make it easier for you. So you shouldn't, Chas v'Shalom, have to open a book or acquaint yourself with the back of a Gemara or a real sheet of a Kovetz, things like that. Anyway, but I digress. Okay. But really, it's whatever. If I put it on the sheet, you can use the sheet. But obviously, the safer inside is always ideal. It's always ideal. Sfarim life, right? Sfarim have character, personality. Sheets do not. I live off the sheets just for the same reason that other people do. But I've also seen it on the inside already. So, but when I make, you know, obviously when you give shurim, it's often easier to just make the sheets. But there's something lost in it, no question about it. Okay, so Tosfos give two answers. What is the first answer of Tosfos? Anyone want to tell me in their own words? Anyone want to tell me in their own words? Yes.
Because the Torah gives you a lot of options for Shomer, so it's not going against the Torah if you make a Tanai on Shmirah. Because there's four options, so if you're changing and you're mixing and matching
right.
them, it still works.
Right. So unlike Kiddushin, in which there's one category called Kiddushin, Shomrim Ribsa HaTorah, Tosa says, right? There's so many models, right? It's like the Thanksgiving Day sale. You know, come, four models, right? There's so many different options. And the fact that there are so many options, says Tosfos, so I made a fifth, right? What's the big deal? The fact is, it's not like there's some fixed Torah idea of a Shomer. After all, we see the Torah gave us many models. So if the Torah doesn't have such a kepeda about which model, so the fact that I added my fifth model, says Tosfos in his first answer, that's enough. In other words, there's an inherent flexibility in Shomrim which does not exist in other areas of Halacha. And that inherent flexibility tells me that my Tanai is not necessarily some contradiction to, you know, Ratzon Hashem, as the case may be. Okay, that's the first answer of Tosfos. What's the second answer of Tosfos? Anybody, in their own words, second answer of Tosfos? Yeah?
That it's basically, it's like a din in the person who you're being mishabe yourself to, that because your qualification as a shomer, your chiyuvim as a shomer qualified when you're mishabe to the Baal HaChepetz, therefore he has the right to basically turn down some of the make a deal with them essentially.
You're focusing on the mafkid, right, or the owner. What you said is correct, but in terms of some of the specifics, but I'm not sure I agree with your focus. Right? You focused that somehow you gave the power to the mafkid.
The Torah gives it.
Is that what Tosa says? Let's read the second answer of Tosa's inside. I'll read it. How about that? You tell me how to translate it. Inami.
I'm not alternative.
Right? Shani Hasam. The Chayvaso Torah Shomer Sachar Ashlokeach Schar. Right? The Shomer Sachar becomes obligated because he took the money. Shoel. Also, what that's a typo. What did I write there? What should the fee? That should have been a pay. Thank you. Shekol Hanalo. Umeshabdim Atzmam. Lekol HaKosuv Baparsha. So whose Tosis is focused on? You said the word Shibud, which is correct. Right, I don't think it's the focus is on the owner as much as on the watchman and on the shomer himself. But the shomer is mishabed himself, right? There are certain categories, right? It's like, again, you walk into the car salesman, he says, these are the four units, right? Depending on which one you want, you'll have a different payment plan. I'm not forcing you, you decide. You're mishabed yourself, whichever one you pick. You know in advance what the deal is, but you get to pick which one. It says, you were mishabed yourself. L'kol HaKosuv Baparsha. Hilkach, b'makom she'ein mishabdin atzmam, peturim. In other words, there's not some a priori, pre-existing, objective obligation that devolves on the shomer. The shomer always is machnis himself. Now, the reason I was harping on that is important, is not just because I think it was the correct reading of the nuance of Tosus, is because I think the punchline of Tosus only makes sense. That Tosus, the whole point of Tosus, tell me if you agree. You don't have to. The whole point of Tosfos is that because the Torah, in essence, gives all the power of choice to the shomer. That's always the case, says Tosfos. He always has to be mishabed himself. So therefore, in this case, by not being mishabed himself to those things, he's not really doing anything that he didn't always have the power to do, because no one made him to be a shomer to begin with. He always had to be mishabed himself. So here, sometimes you could say, nah, I'm not interested. I don't want to watch your object. Did he do anything? Is that anything wrong with that? No, I'm not mishabed myself. So now, I only want to watch your object, but I want to be putter from Shavua. But he's not being mishabed himself when the Torah wanted. But he never has to be. It's always his choice. So that is not a head-on collision with the Dinei HaTorah, because there's built in not the flexibility of Shomrim in the first answer of Tosos, but the more essential necessity of the das of the shomer, his willingness to be mishabed himself. So because that's always the case, he's always in the driver's seat, he always has to obligate himself. Therefore, because he did something a little differently, here it's not really that much of a difference. Tanai is not a big deal here, because Tanai is based on my das, but every shemira is based on my das. Everyone okay with that? Tosfos, that's a pretty good... Now, the Tosfos Harosh did something cute. Anyone notice what the Tosfos Harosh did?
Put them both together.
Excellent, right? The Tosfos Harosh just combined the two. I think could be, you know, Tosfos uses them as an inami, so I guess Tosfos didn't really feel that way, but logically, I think Tosfos Harosh makes a lot of sense. Right, Tosfos Harosh points out that these two phenomena are actually very closely linked, or at least logically, they could be linked. Because the Torah gave lots of models... That's why it's up to me to be mishabed myself in which one. So, in essence, it's the same answer, but I think it's a little bit more elegant way of synthesizing the two factors.
And then you should never be puzzled from Shavuos.
Why never?
Because Shavuos is the Torah's qualification on being puzzled from Tashlumen.
There's certain if you are a shoel, I mean if you're shomer chinam and the guy comes to you and says, where's my object, and you say it was stolen, so you have to take a shavuos hashomrim that actually happened and that you weren't the one who did it. That's not the same. The alternative of I want to be poter for money is even if I was poshea. Okay, now why, let's take a step back for a second. Someone, now let's put on our alumdusha caps. Right, you got it? You got to have a vivid imagination to be a lambda. Right? Halachic glasses.
I don't need the cap, I got the cup.
That's cute. That's very cute. Your cap or cup. Okay. What's the assumption of Tosfos? And the rush. If I had to think on a deeper level, right? We got the tip of the iceberg, now we want to go beneath the surface a little bit. What is going on in the Gemara according to Tosfos? Both in terms of Shomrim, both in terms of the rules of Masna Mashakasa Batora. What is the deeper issue here? Yes?
that we're dealing with what makes a shomer unique in this case, right? That it's not a deen in some.
Well, that's for sure true. That everyone's going to say. But what in answering the question of what makes shomerim unique,
we're not focusing on redefining tanai Torah batora tanai shabbatel. Oh, I didn't say that phrase right.
It's okay. I gotcha.
We're focusing on redefining what a shomer is.
Good. So let me say it another way. We remain within the mizgeret of shomer, right? We still are in the context of shomerim. As at the end of the day, if you make this condition, according to Tosfos, to be potter from Shavua, are you a shomer?
Yeah.
It's just a different kind of shomer. How can you make, I can't make up my own lulav, I can't make up my own kiddushin. No, because of one of the two reasons that Tosfos gives, or the combination reason of Tosfos and Rosh, shomerim is different. I can make tailor-made, custom-made shomerim. But the point is, I'm still a shomer. And are we doing masna al mashab kasab Torah? Yes, but this kind is allowed. This kind is allowed. It is masna al mashab kasab Torah, but for either the two reasons the Tosfos gives or the combination of what the Tosfos and Rosh gives, I can do that. Right? Now those two, what I just said are two different statements, but they fit like hand in a glove. Because Tosfos is assuming that I'm still in the mizgeret, I'm still in the context of shomerim, my condition is making a tznai in a din in the Torah. Masna mashakasa b'Torah. Doesn't the mayor not allow that? Usually. Even usually in Mamonos, he doesn't allow that. But shomerim is unique for that one, two, or a combination of reasons. So I'm still in the parsha of shomerim, which means that what I did was a masna mashakasa b'Torah. It's masna on dinei shomerim. It's just that this is allowed. Okay? Everyone good with Balei Tosfos? So who fundamentally disagrees? Go out on a limb here, boys. Be bold. Take a risk. Yes, and yes, and yes. The other Rishonim on the sheet. Excellent. See, you napped it well. You came back charged. Now, when I say fundamentally, I use that word not only because it's my favorite word, but because I used it advisedly, right? The other Rishonim don't just disagree with the specifics. They don't just give a different answer, a different explanation, but they're actually, I'd say, fundamentally disagreeing. In what way are they fundamentally disagreeing? So first of all, what does Rabbeinu Chananel say? Someone read to me the key phrase, not the whole Rabbeinu Chananel. Who wants to tell me if you're underlining or highlighting, what is the key one or two phrases in Rabbeinu Chananel? We haven't heard from you yet today. I would say that's definitely one. Anyone, if you had to pick two, what would be the second one? I would go with that. See, Cleveland is with us, right? Just a few words later, now those two things are basically Rabbi Chananel reiterating more or less the same idea, right? Buckeyes. Okay. Says Rabbi Chananel, when I make this condition upon accepting the object, what am I doing? I am now, Fruchter, in your own words, what did Rabbi Chananel say?
Outside the boundaries of Shomer.
Correct. I'm not a new kind of Shomer in the halachic sense. I am not a Shomer. Totally, I like that.
I'm not sure.
That's not bad, I like that. Good formulation. Very good, okay. There's more to you than I realized. That's good. Okay, you're not a shomer, you're an insurance agent. I can go with that. Lo yardu lo b'shmira. Enam chashuvim in ha-shomrim shel Torah. Now, why is that different than Kiddushin? Rabbeinu Chananel says, ve'enu domen l'makadish as ha-isha, shel tozum, shel l'chasos ba, levatel ha-kosov. Because there is no alternative, right? You want to live with a woman, there is only one thing. To marry her. You can't be her insurance agent. Right? There is no unlike Shomrim, in which you can approximate the relationship, but fundamentally change it. Right? There's a difference between me watching and, as you put it, just insuring. In Kiddushin, there is no such possibility. Either you are Mekudeshes, or you're not. You can't get out of it. I mean, you could get out of it by not marrying her, but then there's nothing to talk about.
It's still like your insurance policy.
All right. Anyway, that's the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel. So it's not just a different answer. It's not just that he doesn't mention Lo Ribsa, Torah, and all those other things. Unlike Bali Atosos, who seem to say clearly that you are still in the Parsha of Shomrim, you are a Shomer, just a unique version. Here, you are not a Shomer at all. You're not a Shomer. You're just willing to accept responsibility, ki'ilu, like you're an insurance agent. Right? The Ramban says something very similar. What's the Keelan? Who wants to tell me what's the money quote of the Ramban? Maybe someone from Rambam. Peace in our time. Frukta, you just did it. Do any of your friends know anything here today? Who else? Come on. You with us there? You with me? You with me? Oh. Yes. Oh, you didn't bring the sheet either?
No.
Who has the sheet? You have the sheet?
Oh!
He's not just an artist. He's got a Ramban. So what's the key? Give me one key phrase. Einu shomer shalcha. Good. That's good. Einu shomer shalcha. I am not your shomer. If you want it to be a little bit more expansive, what comes before that? Yes. Hifki netzlo. Just because you left it with me does not make me a shomer. Lo kibel zeh alav liyo shomer. Ki'ilu amar. It's as if he said, Hanach lefanai, leave it with me. Ve'eini shomer shalcha. But I'm not your shomer. I am your Buckeye.
I am your insurance.
There you go. I am your best friend. State Farm is always there. Okay? But I'm not your shomer. Says the Ramban, like the Menachananel, I'm fundamentally not in the world of Shmira. Anyone see the Ritva?
Yeah.
I didn't put it on the sheet. You actually had to have a book. What did the Ritva say? The Ritva has a little bit of a nuance. What did the Ritva say? The Ritva, until now, this is kind of like a subjective thing. Like, the guy made a condition to be not a shomer, but to be an insurance agent. What did the Ritva say? Yes.
For all the other lavim and the Torah things, they're very specific lavim saying you can't do that, but...
I would say they're specific. You,
I mean, it's explicit.
You put the cart before the horse. Meaning, what the focus of the Ritva is that there is such a thing as a lav. And it's not just... There is what he called a Ratzon HaTorah. Or Kapid HaTorah, right? He uses that phrase. Kapid HaTorah. Right? You're right. In other words, we have... he gave, I think, two examples. What were the examples of the Ritva? Anyone remember one of them? Lo Yigos? What is Lo Yigos, right? That was our first Chug. Shmita Safim, right? You can't press the guy for the money. Or Lo Sonu, right? You can't do Ona'a.
And Lo Yigra.
Okay? So there, before you or I came on the scene, the Torah already told us that there's a certain Kepeda. The Torah cares about certain things. The Torah is specific, has a desire. There is a Ratzon HaTorah here. So that exists before you and I started making our little arrangement. So says the Ritva, if my arrangement goes against, as Dicker said correctly, that love, that Ratzon Hashem, that Kepeda of the Torah, so that's Masna Mashakasa B'Torah. But Shomrim is not a din or a mitzvah the way those others are. Right? It's a mizgeret. If you want to engage in these kind of relationships, so then the halacha lets you know what your responsibilities are. But there's no Ratzon HaTorah that you should be a shomer. Right? I'll give you an example. Let's say you came to me and said, can you watch my thing? And you said, actually, no. Oh, really? Oh, you must be so busy. I know you're like Shana Aleph and Yeshiva and everything. You're like, no, actually, I'm totally not into it. I cut every night Seder and I'm going to movies, and therefore I cannot watch your thing. So, leave aside everything, you know, the Mashkiach may have to talk to you a little bit. But, from Hilcho Shomrim, did you do anything wrong? Absolutely not. Lo kapira Torah and Shmira. There's no Inyan to be a Shomer. So therefore, the fact that I'm bypassing it, says the Ritva, is not a violation of Masna Amasha Kosov Batorah. Mekara lo shibinashe means what Rashi said it means. The question is there significance beyond that? So pretty much all the other Rishonim other than Rashi felt that there was significance beyond that. So again, here, before we prior to there being a Shmir relationship, all these Rishonim, again, the Ramban, Rabbein Chananel, and Ritva, let's say, although the nuances between them are such, all said, I was never mashab myself to be a shomer. The Paliatosis would say, I never was mashab myself to be a normal shomer. Right? So you have to read that in. Rashi didn't add anything. He just more or less paraphrased the Gemara. Right? But we saw that was a little bit lacking. Now, in one hand, the Ritzvah is very different than the Ramban or Rabbeinu Chananel because he introduces this more objective criteria of Kapit HaTorah. On the other hand, in our big question of are you in the Mizgeret of Shomrim or not, and this is, if you saw this in Rav Lichtenstein's Sefer, he makes this point, I think that's a fair point. On the big question, the Ritva is basically the same as the Ramban and Rabbeinu Chananel. That fundamentally, because of his own sins, more objective than the other Rishonim, the Ritva is saying, you are not a Shomer, you're not in the Mizgeret of Shomrim. I just want to take one thing. So now, remember, when we were talking about the Balei Tosfos, we had 2 points, right? One was, not only are you in the Mizgeret of Shomrim or not, but what was the follow-up point? If you are in the Parsha of Shomrim, according to Tosfos, that means that you therefore require Masna Mashachas Torah to change. It's just that it's allowed. According to the Chachmei Sfarad, Rabbein Chananel, Ramban, etc., since you're not in the Parsha of Shomrim at all, In essence, you don't. I didn't hear you. Yes, and therefore you don't. And therefore you don't. You don't need to engage the concept of Masna Masher B'Kasa B'Torah at all. It's not that this is a form of Masna Masher B'Kasa B'Torah that even Rabbi Meir allows. Rabbi Meir doesn't allow any Masna Masher B'Kasa B'Torah. It's just that this is not Masna Masher B'Kasa B'Torah because you're not a Shomer. If you would redefine what a Shomer is, that would be a Masna Makar Torah. That is exactly what Balei Tosfos says is happening. It seems that the Chachmei Sfar don't think that that's possible. That would be a problem. It's just that they don't have the problem because they don't think that's what's happening at all. They think you are avoiding being a Shomer at all. Completely. Right? I'm a volunteer to be a clown. I'm allowed to volunteer to be anything I want. So here I'm volunteering to be the insurance agent or some approximation thereof. Yes?
The Ritva seems to be focusing on lo tase and just the fact that it's not a lo tase with shomrim. Where do you see that he says that you aren't a shomer? In lo kapita, I could just argue the entire thing. What he's talking about is the fact that it's a lo tase.
Where's the Ritva?
Right here. Actually, I was wondering. I saw that in there too, and I didn't see.
Where
that.
Is it in your Ritva?
It's afilu tema. It's Shmuel's Ritva. It's a different one.
Oh. Where is the key line? Let me find it. And I got the yellow fancy one. One second.
Ooh.
You know.
The yellow one.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. V'haperish anachon. If you have it, look inside. Haperish anachon b'ze be'enai. Deha. The Shomrim lo dami le'idach. Shomrim are different. The Itmar behu masna masha kasa b'Torah. The Bekulhu idach is harachmana behedja. The Torah gave us a specific azhara. The Ba'onaksiv, etc. Shmita, etc. Shekhsusun ona, etc. Lo yigara. Ube'elu, this is the point I was quoting before. Ube'elu rachmana kapid behu. Right? There is a pre-existing Kpeda, care or desire of the Torah about what to do or not to do. Hilkoch, kol shemasna kenegedze, masna mashik pida Torah. That's why it doesn't work on Rabbi Meir and these other things, including even ones that were mamonos.
Right.
Aval kilain bedine shomrim lo goli krok peda, velo izhar aleha Shlo yipater mi dinei shomrim. The Torah never said that you are not allowed to be potter from dinei shomrim. Ela shagazer akasuv ala shomrim shemekablu shmir stam mayehei dinam. If you accept shmir without qualification, this is the din. Avakosha pirish ligroa michayuva velo nachas lahachi. That's probably what I'm reading into. Anyone who explicitly says I'm not going to do those chiyuvim, velo nachas lahachi. So you could say lachas lachi just doesn't go into those specific requirements, or doesn't go into the parsha of shomrim. That's a little bit of an ambiguity. Lo kavod rachmana klal, the Torah isn't minded at all. Ukishemasna legra mechayuvo lahosif eino masna al din Torah, which is what I was saying before. It's not considered masna al din Torah because you're not really going against the Torah. So again, what I said, which I believe I got from Rav Lichtenstein Shir, is that he felt that this was similar to, even though clearly there are differences, fundamentally the same as the other Rishonei Svarad. But I would agree with you, he does not say it as explicitly as the Ramban or Rabbeinu Hananel, that's for sure.
There's definitely room to read it.
Yes, if you wanted to, but the only thing, and the reason that I think that perhaps this is what was motivating Rav Lichtenstein, no, you're right, it's a fair point, is that if you felt that he just was creating a unique version of Shmira, so then the last line, why does he say you don't need Masna Mashak Tzav Torah?
Because Masna Mashak Tzav Torah is only when there's a lotase, when the Torah specifically says
you okay.
can't do something.
I hear that. Could be. So let's go with Detroit here for a second. So I was focusing, as I was analyzing the sugya, on the two components, right? One is, are you still in the parsha of Shomrim or not? Two is, do you need to utilize Masna Mashka Tzav Torah? So I said, Tosfos and Tosfos Rosh hold, you are still in the parsha of Shomrim, therefore you do need Masna Mashka Tzav Torah. The Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ramban say you're not in the parsha of Shomrim, therefore you do not need the parsha of Masna Mashka Tzav Torah. The Ritva may be a split. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, not bad, not bad. Could be. If you wanted to, you could say that the Ritva takes one and after the other. Ritva says you do eat or still a shomer, but you don't need masna mashka tzav Torah here because this is not the kind of din that the Torah cares about.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you can't read it the other way.
I know.
Just don't see any.
Hey, don't back down. Don't back down.
I'm not backing down.
Good.
I'm saying I don't see the Ritva. I don't see any.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. Again, I think there's a certain. I wouldn't say it's impossible to disagree, but I think there's a certain compelling logic to connect these two points. Are you in the Parsha of Shomrim? Do you need Masna Mashka Tzav Torah? And I think in both sides, both Balei Tosfos and Ramban and Rabbeinu Chananel, they agree with the equation, they just have opposite perspectives. So if you accept that equation, so then you read the Ritva the way I was suggesting. But if you want to break that equation, so then you could... I'm good with that. That's not a bad thing. Anyway, Lamai said this is the good kind of structure and organizing. I would just add one ha'ara, which maybe this is what you wanted to say before, I'm not sure. Well, actually, it's a little bit different than what you wanted to say, but I would add one ha'ara now about Rashi, which is, let's go back and look inside for Rashi for a second. Do me a favor, please. Let's look inside Rashi. When Rashi says, at the end of his Shomrim presentation, right before he gets to Mekadesh, right before Aval HaMekadesh, before that, Rashi, after he gets through the whole chronological thing, but then Rashi, what's the upshot? What's the punchline according to Rashi? Lo shabed navshe leireid b'torah Shomrim ela b'miktsas. So how do you read that ela b'miktsas? I didn't see anyone really focus on this. Well, maybe not. I didn't see anyone, but I wasn't reading Shiurei Rabbi Ginsburg yet. One day, Mirza Shem will be published. Right? Right. Okay, so let's think. So now, in light of this major machlokas Rishonim, how would you read? I honestly, I'm not sure. I was up till 1:30 in the morning last night, not only thinking about this, but partially thinking about this. Okay? What is that b'miktsas? So when I first read Rashi, I didn't necessarily pick up on this. Right? This is an important thing, right? It's always important to try to, you know, go back, right? The better reader you are, the more you'll catch things initially. But just because you don't catch something initially doesn't mean you can't go back. I didn't pick up on this originally. When I read the Ramban, I scribbled on the side of my Ramban, that I think Rashi works with the Ramban. It's not exactly what you were saying, but I think
Ramban says that in the Kiddushin can work in Exod. It's just that there's there is Kapsu.
Kiddushin or Shomrim?
Kiddushin. Or at least Ravasa.
We're talking about Shomrim now. We're talking about Shomrim now.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Shomrim now. Right, again, Rashi says, Lo shab nafshi le'erid v'tar shomrim, ela b'miktsas. So, when I first read the Ramban, I was clearly picking up on the first part of that statement of Rashi. Lo shab nafshi le'erid b'toras shomrim, right? That's a brisker Rashi. B'toras. That's like the go-to brisker word. Right? It's not in the category. It's not in the parsha. It's not b'toras. If you want to say it in Latin, it's not qua. Shomrim. Whatever, you look it up. You could just say Betoras. If we could have a Verbrengen in Gush, we could say Betoras. Okay. So, I was worrying about Rashi. So, if you read it that way, that's so then I would say, if you put the Dagesh on that, that's what I meant to say when I thought that Rashi is like the world of the Ramban. That Rashi is saying, because of the chronological point, because you got your Tanai in there before being Makabel Shmira, in essence, what you agreed to is, call him his insurance agent, you weren't really a Shomer. Lo hiskim leirid the Torah Shomrim. But then when I was rereading it last night, sometimes it takes three times, and sometimes it takes many more than three times to read a Rishon, he added, I realized that maybe I had not sufficiently focused on the words, Ella. So what does that mean? So it could be that that's really not at all like Ramban and Rabbi Chanan, but in fact perfectly like Tosfos. Again, he focuses on this chronological point, which is vulnerable to the questions we asked that the Rishonim asked. But in terms of the mentality, where's Rashi coming from? It could be that that focus is that you're still, it's a b'miktsas, you're a partial shomer. So I'm not sure if b'miktsas means you can't be a partial shomer, and therefore it's another way of saying you're not a formal shomer, but Torah shomer you're not. Or it means, no, you are, just partially. Like, I'm not sure. At the end of the day, I decided I got to go to sleep. But I'm not sure. Sometimes, you know, it could go either way. Yes, what do you think?
Can we say, like, if you look at the first part of Rashi, that he says that he is going to be a shomer, El B'Kam. So it means that he's going to be a shomer, just only with this.
Again, so how do you read El B'Kach? Is El B'Kach, I'm only going to be this kind of shomer?
He said, I'm going to be a shomer, though.
Not going to be a shomer. El B'Kach, only B'Kach, meaning I'm only willing to do this. Maybe. Yes. I'm not saying no.
You say that the emphasis would be on mixas, that there's
you are partially a shomer.
You are, that there's
again, when I say what I'm just for the Bekach and the Miksa Shomer, again, again, the question is, when you are still doing it Bekach, you're doing it B'Miktsas, are you formally a Shomer once it's only B'Miktsas?
Bekach sounds like a qualification rather than like an official.
You could argue that Miksas is there too. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying
like
I could wiggle out if I needed to.
It'd be difficult. I feel like the word Bekach.
Okay.
Sounds a little bit more. Half this, if I'm only half, then I'm not full.
I am not energetically or enthusiastically disagreeing with you. Just saying it's not as mochrach as I would like. Yes.
Mitzvah is actually almost going against the Ein Ishus L'chatzai, that marriage is not in halves, that Shomrim is actually divided into two parts almost. Isn't like we saw in there was a Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael that Rabbi quoted a point where he says that if I accept to do the Shmir without doing the Mashiach yet, I'm a Shomer already. And that, say at that point,
I think Rashi is looking.
That Rashi is learning that there's a partial, that you've accepted a partial
just
Shmir,
agreement.
You haven't accepted your status as a. Meaning that's why I was.
Maybe. Okay, I didn't think about that at all, because again, I think the thrust of Rashi, I mean, that's itself a Chiddush.
It's reading the Hagos Hashem, that the bare minimum of any Shomer. The
agreement.
Part of Shomer is the agreement which accepts
right.
Shia, and then it gets rid of the entire question of Shia on this. Why a Shomer Chinam isn't talked about
right.
In Shia, that he because you can't be called a Shomer if you're not Chayv in Shia, and then you're suspended until you decide which category of Shmira you're in. that you're only chayav on pshia.
Right. Again, I'm saying, but the focus here is not on which category you're in, because you're making it's that you're making your own category. The whole Mishnah is about the fact that you're making something different. Again, I can't say for sure that you're wrong.
Well,
I'm just saying I didn't think about that at all. I didn't think
a regular shomer.
I'm saying I didn't think of that at all when I read Rashi. I'm not saying you're wrong. I have to think about it more. Maybe. I'm not sure. That did not hit me at all when I read it. Okay, but that I could be wrong. Okay, let's just do a few more minutes. Let's finish up with the last part, which is the machlokes between Rabbeinu Yehonasan and the Shimon Kubetzes and the Hagos Ashri or others who agree. There's more Rishonim than this. But again, we mentioned, let's do one more thing, which is, why did the Mishnah leave out Mamon? Right? How come it says the Shomer Chinen can be Masna to be Potter from Shua? Well, why can't it be Masna to be Potter from Mamon, which, as you correctly said, as the Rishonim say, in essence means Pshia, because when is a Shomer Chinen ever Chayiv in Mamon? Only if he was Poshea. So how come that's left out of the Mishnah? So first of all, I didn't put it on your sheet, but logically one could say, and in fact does exist as far as I know in at least two Rishonim, that Ein Hachanami. Who said you can't? Either some Rishonim, Rav Lichtenstein, I think in his shir quoted from Ra'avan, quoted by other Rishonim, I think it was the Marami Rutenberg quoted Ra'avan, you saw that in Rav Lichtenstein's shir, that he may have had a girsa in the Mishnah that did include Mamon. Or you can look in the Meiri. The Meiri also seems to just say, yeah, Ein Hachanami. It's just not common. What are the odds that it would happen? But yeah, Ein Hachanami. No reason. Yes, no problem. So first of all, it might be that we're making a mountain out of a molehill. But nevertheless, at least some Rishonim clearly did not have the girsa that included money, and clearly were bothered by that. So we basically have two very different explanations for that. The first one is from Rabbeinu Yehonasan, who introduces into the halachic literature the word shtus. It's not just your Rebbe or somebody else telling you you're being, right? This is, and now it's in a Rishon. Shtus. Lefi she'ein shtus kazeh. Ola al das adam. Shiyisne shiyeh poter mi pshia. In other words, what is Rabbeinu Yehonasan saying? No shomer would even suggest it. What are the odds? I mean, who would accept such a thing? Right? That's the first. That those are the words of Rabbeinu Yehonasan. After all, shem kein lo nikra shomer elamasik. We'll get back to that. V'lo moser lo ki im l'shomer. And the only reason the guy's giving it to me is that I should be shomer it. El ol al dato shifterenu midaver shaba. Lo al yedei onsin. I.e. to avoid a shvua, which is what he has to do if there's an onus, right? So twice, Rabbeinu Yehonasan refers to the mentality, the da'as of the shomer. What are the two terms? Someone I haven't heard from yet today. What are the two terms in Rabbeinu Yehonasan that refer to das? Anybody? I'll call, if not volunteers, I'm going to call on somebody. What are the two terms in Rabbeinu Yehonasan that refer to das? Right, Kornblau, do you have a sheet in front of you?
No.
You don't have a sheet. Okay. Who haven't I heard from? I'm not scary, come on. Two terms. No volunteers? All right, you can make up for being late, Silver Spring. Let's go.
The word das.
Oh my gosh! Wait, yes, of course. Bold and correct. And what was the first one?
There's
Dato. Okay. Or all the shtus, right? That whole phrase. In other words, both in that initial phrase of ein shtus kaze ola al das adam, and then in the next line ela al dato, right? So the focus seems to be subjective, right? His das. It's not serious. Now the question is what to make of this. Rav Lichtenstein actually has two suggestions. If you noticed in the sheet, in the Sefer, one was in the body of the text, one was in the footnote. I have to find out from someone if the footnotes are also him. I'm not 100% sure. I know that there was a team of Ramim who edited the Sefer, and I think the main editor was, final editor was Rav Wolf. So I think when there are Makoros in the footnotes, sometimes those were added by the editors, but I'm not sure if this Svara or not was added. Someone could find that out. But in the actual body of the Sefer, so Rav Lichtenstein assumed something, which personally when I read it, I thought like the footnote. But what Rav Lichtenstein suggested it was that in fact it's so not serious, it's just ridiculous, that even if a person said it, it wouldn't be good. Because no one takes it seriously. That's a more radical reading, you know, super subjective, super das focused. In the footnote, he suggests that no, maybe that's the Rabbeinu Yohanan is just explaining why it's not muzkar, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, because it's not likely to have ever been said or agreed to. But if it would be, then in Echanami it would work, which is not that different than the Meiri that I mentioned or that Ra'avan. Right? So whether they had a girsa or not of the Mishnah, but in terms of the din, it seems at least plausible, according to Rabbeinu Yonason, that in fact it is possible. Yeah, it's not likely. Maybe the guy would never have the chutzpah to ask. Not likely you would agree. But if all those things come together, you could even be potter for money. You could even become a poshea. Okay? Who disagrees with this? So if you saw in Rav Lichtenstein's Sefer, he quoted an Or Zarua. What I quoted for you, a Hagos Hashri. First of all, I didn't put it on the sheet. You know how to find the Hagos Hashri?
Yeah.
Okay, I had confidence in you. The Hagos Hashri, Hagos are mean like notes on Ashri. Who's Ashri?
Rush.
The Rush, okay? So what did Hagos Ashri say? What does the Or Zarua say? That the reason that the Mishnah left it out is?
You can't.
You cannot do it. Fundamentally, you cannot do it. Because to do that would make you a poshea and not a shomer. The poshea, what is a poshea? A poshea is someone who is really neglecting something irresponsibly. It's a form, presumably, of mazik. Correct, correct. Can I, let me ask you a question. Can I make a t'nai that allows me to be mazik your stuff? Are you sure? So that's a Gemara. You're so far, every question you've asked me in the last 2 weeks has been based on Baba Kama. So what's the Gemara in Baba Kama? Or just a more simple thing? Kra asks. Right, rip my clothes. Right, I can be mochel. I can allow you to rip my stuff. So the Or Zarua, if you saw that in Rav Lichtenstein's shiur, I didn't mention that in the shiur, in my shiur, in my notes, but Rav Lichtenstein actually asked that question based from the Or Zarua. And the Or Zarua, anyone see this in Rav Lichtenstein's Sefer? I gave that on the WhatsApp yesterday. The Or Zarua says, well, it depends on who did it. If I say to you, take my garment and rip it for me, that I can do. The Mafkid can make that condition. But here, the Shomer saying, I want to watch your object on condition that I can be poshea in it and not have to pay you, he suggests that that fundamentally is not allowed. Now again, according to Ben Yohonasan, and certainly according to the Meiri, that might be allowed. Can you have a shomer who's allowed to be poshea and get off the hook? Whether you call poshea a mazik or not, this is a huge discussion. I'm not sure if anyone's quoted this to you before, the famous Rambam of poshea kamazik. Right? So if you assume that, and Rav Lichtenstein alluded to that in his shir as well, so let's leave that out for now. But again, fundamentally, just if we want to ask the question, why does the Mishnah leave out Tashlumin? We have two answers. One is because not likely to ever have been said or agreed to. And the second one is because fundamentally it can't work. Right? Ad kan. That's the basic two ha'aras. And with this we'll conclude. And then I'm happy to stay with questions. But let me just finish this here. Two ha'aras. So one is this, even though we're contrasting the two approaches, but I think some of you even came over to me yesterday, I can't remember who, someone came to my makom yesterday and made this point, that this second idea of the Hagos HaShri or the Or Zarua is already hinted at by Rabbeinu Yonasan himself. Right? Because what did he say? After he gives this, even though he has this whole focus on Das and Shtus, But he says that Shim Kain lo nikra shomer ela mazik. Right, so that may very well be what exactly that we're saying for the other Rishonim, that you're simply not a shomer anymore. Now, according to Rabbeinu Yohanan, apparently that can't be pshat, because that wouldn't be, that's what's not allowed. So that's number one, is that this idea is already, Rabbeinu Yohanan is a little more complicated than we made him seem. I'm comfortable with the way we presented it, but he does have that other phrase, which is more reminiscent of the other Rishonim. Number one. Number two, and with this I'll conclude, anyone want to suggest, this is just my own thoughts from 1:30 in the morning, anyone want to, any connection between this and the first half of Shir? Do you think there's any connection between the Machlokas, Agos, Ashri, and Rabbeinu Yohanan, and the bigger Machlokas that we've been seeing about what's going on in the Gemara and the Mishnah? Is this just according to Rabbi Yehuda? Is it also according to Rabbi Meir? Is this person who makes this deal still a shomer, but a unique kind of shomer, or is he no longer a shomer? He's an insurance agent. That was our main thrust of Shir. So is this point, right? First of all, let me back up for 1 second. Let me back up for 1 second. And well, you know, first, anyone have an answer to that question? We'll review with Zahara. Yes.
Well, if you hold like the Australian people like that, you say that it's just like actually also, then I think you probably have to go like people who say that you're from the Torah.
I'm not sure I understand you, so I'll start, you finish. Okay, Rabbeinu Yohanan, he can imagine, right? He doesn't think it's likely, it's not serious, but let's assume if you would make such a thing, you had such a shtus, you had the chutzpah to ask for it, and he was an idiot and he accepted it even. Can he conceive of such a thing actually happening?
Yeah.
I think so. It sounds like to me that Rabbeinu Yohanan can imagine a t'nai that does what? That changes the kind of shomer. But you're still a? You're still a shomer. Is that what you were trying to say?
Yes,
exactly. According to Hagos HaShri, that certain changes, maybe, but at least that kind of change, then you're no longer a shomer. Right? That sounds more like the Ramban approach.
But
right?
it could just be, with Hagos HaShri, it could be specifically that I could also argue that it's the other side also, because the reason he's saying it doesn't mention the Shomer Chinam is because in that case then you wouldn't be considered a Shomer anymore. And if that doesn't work with our Mishnah where all of the stories we're making, you're still considered
right,
a
so
Shomer.
maybe there's two dinim according to him, right? If you are getting rid of Poshea, so then you're outside of the Mizgeret of Shomerim.
All the other cases you're specifically in the Mizgeret of Shomerim. That's why they're in our Mishnah.
Except for the right, so then the Gaz Hashri would be more like
the Tosfot.
Right, okay, good. Right, but I would say it this way, is that the Ramban couldn't say it that way. Because Ramban holds that even the cases in the Mishnah are not in the Mizgarat of Shomrim.
So he would have to say.
Right, according to the Ramban's mentality, you hear this, listen carefully, according to the Ramban's mentality, you're no more out of Shomrim by saying Poshea than you are already by saying Shavua. Right. Already Shavua gets you out of Shomrim. In that direction, right? Sometimes a nafkamina or a tliya, a connection of Shita, sometimes it works in one direction, not the other. I think in that direction, I think it's clear that Ramban can't be saying that because he thinks you're already out the door. So that's no big deal. Maybe it's to a degree worse, but fundamentally you're already out the door. You know, what's the difference how far out you are? You're already out. Right? The question is in the other direction. Do you say, which I also thought maybe initially, that it's more likely that Rabbeinu Yohanan is going with the approach that you're still in? Or do you want to say no? Maybe that even he agrees and he just thinks that there's two dinim in the Mishnah and that is goof for the difference between about Shavua and about Mamon. One other point, just as a final last point, which is what's another nafkamina? So let's just review, right? Just to review everything. Fundamentally, there seemed to be a contradiction from the first half of the Mishnah to the second half of the Mishnah. Or just in general, we have this concept of Masa Mashkasa B'Torah. How could the Mishnayos here allow you to do it? One answer is, Enchanami, it's only according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda who allows it in Mamon, and Shomrim is the Parsha of Mamon. But then the Gemara seemed to conclude that no, you could say this according to everybody. Shomrim is unique. Why is Shomrim unique? either Shomrim has a certain elasticity, there's lo kapat ha-Torah, the various formulations that we saw, and therefore you can make hybrid kinds of Shomrim. Ripsa Torah, there's many categories, no big deal. It's in the parsha of Shomrim anyway. Alternatively, Rabbi Chananel, Rabban, etc. It's just that you're not in Shomrim. It's not that Shomrim is unique. You're not a Shomer. Do you? And therefore, it's not that it's an exception of. It's not that Rabbi Meir agree. And again, the nafkamina would be: does Rabbi Meir accept Mashal Kasa B'Torah in this case? According to the Baal Yatosos, yes. Just like Rabbi Yehuda has his exception called Davar Sheba Mamon, Rabbi Meir has a more limited exception called Shomrim. You can have Mas Mashal Kasa B'Torah in Shomrim because Shomrim is unique. But according to the Chachmei Svara, Ramban, etc., Rabbi Meir never allows Masna Mashal Kasa B'Torah. Didn't we finish this even to leave Rabbi Meir? The answer is no, but it's not Masna Mashal Kasa B'Torah at all because it's not connected to Shomrim. You're not changing the kind of Shomer you are. You're just not a Shomer at all. So that's not Masna. You don't need Masna Mashal Kasa B'Torah because you're not changing anything. One nafkemina of that, Shvuas HaShomrim. Let's say we made this agreement on Potter. And then something comes up. Right? So if you're still in the Mizgeret of Shomrim, so maybe there'd be Shavua. If I'm an insurance agent, I'm totally out of the Parsha of Shomrim, then you wouldn't. A second Nafkamina may be the one we just said, the Rabbeinu Yonasan and the Rabbeinu Rashri. Is it possible to even have a Tanai that allows you to be Poshea, that would get you out of the Mamon? Right? So it seems like, according to the Ramban, you could do anything because you're not a shomer, but there's no possibility of a shomer that gets out of that. If you say that we are allowing because of ripsa haTorah, and there's a lot of different models of shomrim, so hey, what's another? So then maybe I was suggesting you could say all the way, you could even have a model of shomrim without paying, or you might say, as Rabbi Nadel just said, that perhaps no, even that maybe Tosus wouldn't go that far. On that, he would switch over and say, no, that's already not a shomer. Okay. Very good, Yeshikoyach. I'm happy to stay and answer any questions you have.